Luke 24. We are in that portion of our church year. It celebrates that very important time between the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord, during which time I dare say that much of the apostolic teaching that completes the work of Christ, our understanding of Christ after the resurrection of Christ, was formulated during that time. Very important period in the story of redemption. Luke 24, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we feel it is our scriptural, biblical duty to remind you that though we pass the bread and the cup around, that does not mean that we expect you to partake of the bread and the cup, but rather that this communion, as we break the bread and partake immediately and drink the cup and partake immediately, is for those who know Jesus Christ, who confess him as Lord in their hearts and in their and before a watching world. It is for those who have been publicly baptized with water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and for those who are in fellowship with Christ because they are in fellowship with his church, as in the text that we read this morning, that we are to love one another with this brotherly love, and that bespeaks a commitment to a particular local body of believers. If any of these things are not true of you, you're not a member of a church, or you've not been baptized, or you are not sure about your relationship to Christ, we would ask that as the bread and the cup is passed, that you simply hand it on to the person next to you and determine to discuss the matter with one of us to clarify these things. We don't wish to exclude for the sake of exclusion, but rather we wish to clarify according to the Word of God who is and who is not truly a follower of Jesus Christ. Luke 24, beginning at verse 13, reading through verse 35, that very day two of them, going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the prophets, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he, Jesus, said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going." He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. So this table is for those whose eyes have been opened by the Spirit of God to see their need of a Savior. And they have found that need met in the person of the resurrected Christ. These two on the road to Emmaus didn't recognize Jesus because they were blinded by their own expectations of what a Messiah should be and what he should do for them. Again, they said, "We had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel." What kind of Messiah do you want? What kind of a Savior do you want? And then there's Jesus' response, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ, that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And here's the key to understanding of the gospel: the necessity of the Messiah to die and rose again. It was necessary. Why? Why couldn't God, who is all-powerful, use another means to save people? Why couldn't he just declare, "I forgive you"? Why was it necessary for the Messiah to die, to pay the penalty for our sin, the penalty of which is death? And God the Father approved of that work on the cross to pay the debt that you and I owed by raising him from the dead. And so as we partake of the broken bread that speaks to us of the broken body of our Lord, as we are reminding ourselves of the necessity of Christ's death to accomplish our salvation, let's partake of the bread and the cup with faith, with joy, and with thanksgiving for this amazing grace that found its way to us through the proclamation of the gospel, the good news. We like to here prepare ourselves to receive the Lord's Supper. If perhaps there's need for confession of sin, it would be a good time to do it as we sing a hymn that will speak to us about Christ's work on our behalf. Let's stand together and sing.